I would like to invite you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 54 through verse 60. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out loud with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. I would like to invite you to pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you because your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. And as we have worshipped you and as we have praised you, we know that you are in this place. We can also confess what your word says, where two or three are gathered together, you are there. So we welcome you into this place. And we ask you that your word that is going to be spoken will come into our hearts and accomplish its purpose. We know that your word never returns void. So we ask you that you will help us to see more of you and help us to be challenged to do something whenever we hear your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we read our text this morning, this text begins after Stephen has just finished proclaiming the word of the Lord to the people that have captured him. Religious leaders and people that are supposed to know the word of the Lord, that have been waiting to see Christ, are listening to the message that he is proclaiming to them. But it's something very interesting that we find in this place, is that we do not see joy when they are receiving this word. We don't see ears that are being opened. We don't see hearts that are being transformed. We don't see life that is coming into their lives. But we read, as we began reading, there was anger. There was rage against these men. There was hatred against the word that had been preached. But this is not supposed to be the result of the word of the Lord. Sometimes we ask ourselves, what is supposed to be the result of the word of the Lord? As we will see later on, the word of the Lord, like Jesus says, will separate those into life and those who do not belong to him. But whenever we read about the anger that was manifested in the hearts of these men against the proclamation of the word. It was interesting that the proclamation of God's word caused all this anger, so much so that it was deemed appropriate to these religious men to take the life of this man in order to stop him from proclaiming the word of the Lord. Stephen showed them how they had missed all the scriptures that they had in their possession. They had missed the opportunity in finding that the Lord Jesus Christ had been revealed from the beginning to the end. So whenever he was proclaiming, something different happened. In this case, they wanted to take his life. But who was this Stephen? All of a sudden, we are introduced to him in just one chapter before this. Stephen, it says, chapter 6, as we read, that the church was having a problem. The church was experiencing a problem because they didn't have enough people to care for the needs of the people in the church. All of its members were not being taken care of. Chapter 6 discusses how the Greek widows have been neglected. And this brought the disciples to gather together and listen to this complaint from the people that said, hey, there's certain people in our congregation that are not being taken care of. So the disciples made a decision And they said, let's gather 7 men full of the Holy Spirit that have wisdom, and let's help them become the people that will go out and serve the needs of our congregation. They said, we need somebody with good reputation, and we need them to be filled of wisdom. And all of a sudden, we see how Stephen was one of these men that was chosen for the service. This man was chosen so that he would help in a practical way the needs of the people in the community. It is incredible how the choosing of this man allowed the disciples to focus on the word of the Lord and on prayer. And as we read chapter 6, we see how all of a sudden the word of the Lord began expanding and the church began growing, and more disciples were joining the church. All of a sudden, a good administration of the church in finding men capable of taking care of the needs of the church allowed the word of the Lord also to go forward. Stephen's choosing is a great example to our church today when it comes to choosing people for tasks to be accomplished in the church. We have to think who we choose to do the work in the church. It can be maintenance or in the facilities or in the missions work. In this case, Stephen was chosen to go into a pantry and gather some food and give it to the people that were in need. If we think about it, what were the qualifications for this man set so high? He was simple job. Maybe we just need a simple person. But this is not the way that the disciples thought. The disciples said, no, we need a man of good reputation, and we need him to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And this was a man that was chosen for this task, a practical task, which becomes a challenge for us today. Are we choosing men capable of knowing and understanding the Word of God, even for tasks such as feeding people and giving them food? But the choosing of Stephen is also a great example for us as Christians, as disciples of the Lord, because it challenges us in a specific role. Has the Lord called us to a specific task in His church? And if so, are we making sure that His word is in our hearts? Are we making sure that we are eating and having a devotional day and night, allowing His word to come into our hearts and allowing His word to flow out of our hearts? Whenever we see the life of Stephen, we see that he's a great example to us. He was chosen for a practical task. But in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 8, we see and read, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Even though his role was addressing just practical needs, he was making sure to have an incredible devotional life with His Lord, with His Savior. He was making sure that his life was growing in the Lord, that his knowledge was growing in the Lord. So as he went and fed people, the Spirit of the Lord was like a light shining in his life. So much so that he called the attention of others. Others could see the work of Christ in his life to the point that angered the religious people of his time. That's why whenever we read chapter 6, we hear how they were enraged against what he was doing. But what was he doing? He was feeding the hungry. He was making sure that everybody had their portion in the community so that everybody was fed. But he was doing it in such a way that Christ was being reflected in his life with so much power that angered the people around him. And that's why he was arrested. God was being glorified in the life of Stephen as he cared for the people's needs. However, the enemy of the gospel in the hearts of men rose up against him. Stephen was arrested. But this shouldn't be a surprise to us. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he told them, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it has hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Whoever hates me, said Jesus, hates the Father also. This is a powerful statement that we are seeing that is happening in the life of Stephen. His love for Christ, his love for the Father, was making him a mark for the world. The more you love the Father, the more you love Christ in your life. Jesus said, if you love me, the world will hate you. And they will hate you. And you have to understand that because they already hated me. And Jesus says it in such an incredible way. He says, and they hated me because they hate the Father. All of a sudden, the religious people that had the word of the Lord available to them were completely blinded. In the life of a man doing practical things for his church and his community was reflecting the love of Christ to everyone around him. What a challenge for us today to see the life of Stephen. He was not called to be a preacher. He was not called to be an evangelist. He was called to serve the tables. And even in his role, people were coming to Christ and people were seeing the power of the Lord at work in his life. And that is a great challenge for us today. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, said, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God was manifested in the life of Stephen. But as he acted and took care of the needs of the church, his life became foolishness to the world because the gospel that he was acting out was foolishness. And so he was arrested. And so, as we will see, he lost his life because he stood firm in making sure that Christ was in him. Stephen faithfully presented to the religious people the gospel. He gave a clear account of how the word of God from the beginning was pointing to Jesus Christ. He testified without fear for his life because he knew that even though he was walking through a valley of the shadow of death, he knew that the Lord was going to be with him. And he placed his comfort in life, in the life of Jesus Christ. Whenever we come to the verse that we were reading today from our text, it says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they grounded their teeth at him. It is incredible how the proclamation of God's word reveals the hearts of men. The word of the Lord goes into our hearts and discovers if we are truly of the Lord or if we are adversaries of his word. Luke chapter 2 says that in Luke chapter 2 we read this. Whenever Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, we see Simon declaring these words. He says, speaking about Jesus, he has been appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It is incredible that the word of God has the power to reveal our thoughts. The power of the Lord has the power to go into even into the marrow of the bones. And this is what was happening here. The life of Stephen was reflecting Christ to the point that the hearts of men were being shown clear. They didn't love Jesus Christ. They hated him. And because of that, they wanted to take his life. The faithful testimony of Stephen drove the religious leaders into madness. Their hearts were shown to be in opposition to God. So they rejected Christ. So they were rejecting the proclamation of the words that Stephen was bringing forth. The thoughts of the hearts of men were revealed when the word of the Lord was spoken. And this is a challenge for us in our lives. As we go into the world, as we go into our communities, in our jobs, what are we proclaiming? What type of light is shining out of our hearts, and what type of reaction are we getting? Are we trying to conform ourselves so that we do not bother anybody? Are we trying to change our testimony so that they will not feel offended? But the reality is this. The word of the Lord has the power to reveal the thoughts in the hearts of men. So the testimony of our lives should have the same power. And we should be okay with that. Because if the Lord is going to be in our hearts, we have to have the Lord 100%. And 100% of those consequences have to be recognized in our lives. Because as we read, if they hated Jesus, they will also hate us. But the great thing is that if God reveals in the hearts of the people that we come across that they need a Savior, then they will also see the light. But if the word of the Lord reveals in their hearts that they are not of the Lord, then that is the benefit. Those who belong to Him will come and need Him, and those who do not belong to Him will hate you. And that is what the word of the Lord says. The verse continues saying, "But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand." This is an amazing verse. We're seeing Stephen experiencing suffering in his life. He's being captured, and all of a sudden everybody's coming against him because of the work that he is doing. But this verse gives us consolation and hope, because all of a sudden we see the suffering that this man, the danger that he's experiencing, the persecution that he's experiencing. But we see one promise and one reality that the Lord wants us to understand and have it deep in our hearts, is that His Spirit is with us. Regardless of the situation we are going through, the Lord is with us. And we read here that because he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was able to see the glory of God. That means he was not able to see God in the midst of his situation because he had goods. He was doing it in his own strength. But it was the Holy Spirit in him that was calling him to be able to see and observe the Lord. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. When death was before his eyes, he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus reigning over the situation. So he could take courage in his life, knowing that nothing could stop him from having and belonging to his Lord. In his soul, the truth and reality of Romans 8:35-39 was true. This is what Romans 8:35-39 says. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" As Stephen was standing in front of these men who hated him, who were completely desiring to kill him and stop him, he understood and he knew in his heart, "Who can separate me from the love of Christ?" Christ was present in the midst of his affliction. Shall tribulation, shall distress or persecution, shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, said Stephen. In his heart he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. He knew that in all things he was more than a conqueror because God had loved him. And he could say, like Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So as his eyes were fixed upon Christ, he knew that his life was secure in a good place. So even though his mortal body might fall asleep, he will be able to be with Christ but in a moment. So Stephen found courage to face the situation by putting his sight on Jesus Christ. And that begs a question. How is Christ present in our lives? How has God been present in our momentary afflictions in the past couple of weeks or in the past year or in the past decade? How has God been present in our lives? We are the only ones that can answer that question. But we need to make sure that we ask that question and not just ask, but we try to find the way that we will answer that in the next situation when it comes around. How is God present in our lives in the times of sufferings? His word is available to us. His promise is that we are His temples, so that He is in us. We might not have the opportunity to see Jesus and have a vision whenever we are experiencing suffering, but His word says that His Spirit is with us, that He lives in us. So if His word is available to us, and we seek Him, and we desperately seek Him, we will find Him. Whenever we read Job 23, Job is experiencing suffering, and he's experiencing all this anguish. All his sons and daughters have passed away. All his possessions have been lost. And in Job 23, all of the song, he says, when I look to the left, I cannot find God. When I look to the right, I cannot find him. When I look to the front, he's not there. When I look to the back, I cannot find the Lord. But the following verse says, but I know the Lord knows each step that I take. And the following verse says that in each footprint that the Lord has placed before me, I place my feet. So all of the sudden, Job says, regardless of the situation I am, I know that I will come out brighter than gold. And this is what we're seeing in the life of Stephen. Stephen is experiencing suffering. His life is being, he doesn't know, will I live? How much time do I have? But he is looking to Christ, and the Lord will prove him and has proved him that he is in control. He is standing, and he can see the Lord, so his confidence is that the Lord is present in his life. The following verse, Stephen says, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Incredibly, this reassurance that God gave Stephen in showing him that he was present, he was also showing him that he was present so that he could communicate with the people that were persecuting him that God was in that place. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gave testimony to this council. This council that is the same council where Jesus was standing some time before him. In Matthew 26:64, Jesus, speaking to the same council, said, I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. At that moment when Jesus spoke that, the priest just ripped his vest and called for the death of Jesus. But all of a sudden we see God acting in this particular way. He is telling Stephen to proclaim what he is seeing, and thus giving testimony to this council that the Lord is who he said he was. And he was standing in the place that he said he was going to be. So Stephen is testifying to this group of religious men that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is in heaven and throne. And all of a sudden, the unbelief of these religious people, we could see it in their hearts. They did not believe Jesus Christ. They did not believe our Lord Jesus when he said, I will be seated at the throne. And now Stephen is testifying, I see him and he is right there. The man that you killed, the man that you hated, now he is where he said he was going to be. And my faith is placed on him. So regardless of what you are doing against me, I know that my Lord lives and he lives. What is the reaction that they had? But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Certainly, the preaching of the glory of Christ was a torment to this generation. It was a torment. They had scriptures, but they didn't have the Spirit of the Lord in their hearts. They had the details of what was going to happen, but they didn't have the opportunity of enjoying that. They were enraged, and their emotions exploded against Stephen. And that is the challenge that we face. Will we adjust our message of Christ? And that is a challenge that we have to keep in our hearts and ask ourselves, will I be an example? Will I be an imitator of Christ? Will I be a light that shines, that Christ is alive in me? The next verse says, then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. It is incredible when we read Deuteronomy 13. The stoning of a man was the sign for that person that was bringing the people of the Lord and helping them become idolaters of evil gods, of idols, of strange gods. The stoning of a person was designed for that person that was going to take one of the people from Israel and take him away from the true God. In all this song, we see the religious people stoning Stephen for preaching the real God, for preaching the Christ that the word that they had in their possession was preaching. And that is crazy, because that is the world where we're living. This world will turn upside down the word of the Lord and call good what is evil and evil what is good. But we have to have the confidence that if the Lord is in control of our lives, we have to preach him and see him and know him and delight in him and proclaim him as he is in no other way. Stephen was about to lose his life, but his sight was on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 116, we see the psalmist worshiping the Lord because his life was saved from the brink of death. The psalmist is expressing his thankfulness because the Lord didn't allow his soul to die. And that is a great thing and hope that I believe Stephen had in his heart. Psalm 116 verses 7 through 9 says, "Rest, O my soul, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for he has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." It is incredible that the psalmist is not giving thanks in this place because his physical life was spared, but he's giving thanks to the Lord because his soul was delivered from death. And that is the expectation and the hope that we need to have in our lives, that as we walk our Christian walk, regardless of what may face us, our hope and our expectation is that our life and our soul has been spared from death. That even though our body, as we were singing today, our body may be killed, but the Lord will remain and his faithfulness will remain to us. Because though our body, we may die today, in an instant we will be with the Lord. So the psalmist is expressing that, "Return, O my soul, to your rest. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. He has delivered my soul from death." And we know that his concern was not that his body was saved, but he was excited that his soul was saved for eternity. And we know this because later on in Psalm 116, 15, he says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." The Lord is not promising us that he will deliver us from physical death or from physical persecution, but he is promising us and is showing us in the life of Stephen that he will be present in the moments of our afflictions, that if we look to him, he will give us the confidence and the trust that he is present so that we can continue testifying his goodness until our last breath, as we will see that Stephen did. So the verse in Acts continues, "And they were stoning Stephen, but he called, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" We see the faith of Stephen following in the steps of his Lord. He understood that the will of the Lord was about to come to pass in his life. So as the enemies of the Lord were attacking him, he knew where he was standing. He knew who he had come to know. So he was looking to the Father, and he was committing his spirits because he knew that in the Lord, his spirit and his life would be secure. The life of Stephen is a rare example of a godly death. And it's a challenge to us to live our lives in a godly way as well. We don't need to wait to be in a moment where our life is a danger to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. We don't need to be in that moment of affliction where we need to then say, no, I trust in the Lord. But as we live in peaceful times, and as we live in times of relaxation, we can also testify that the Lord is good, that his word endureth forever, that he is wanting to transform the lives, and he is wanting to give eternal waters, living waters, to those who are thirsty. This portion of our text for today says, "And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen's last prayer is a great testimony to our lives. From the beginning, we see him in chapter 6, full of the Holy Spirit, working the tables, feeding the poor, and taking the food to those that were in need. But his life was a testimony because the life of Christ was being reflected in his life, in everything that he did. And it's incredible when we go to his last words, he's praying to the Lord. And he's praying a prayer that is incredible. He's asking for the Lord to save. He's asking for the salvation of these people. The last prayer, he's crying out, "Lord, do not take this sin against them." He was proclaiming the gospel of Christ. He was proclaiming that in Christ there is forgiveness. Though they were killing him, he was proclaiming to them in his prayer to the Lord that there is forgiveness. And that is an incredible challenge and a great example to our lives. And this, even though this prayer didn't come to fruition immediately, we see the life of Paul, who was present in that place, later on coming to the Lord. Was that an answered prayer? Was Stephen's prayer answered? I would say so. Even though they were killing him for living a life that reflected Christ, in his last moment he was praying to the Lord that their sins would not be taken against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. We are challenged to be real disciples of Christ. We will not all experience persecution in the same way that they did. We will not all experience difficulties in the same way. But we are all challenged to be disciples of Christ, to reflect him in everything that we do. We are challenged to know his word and to allow the rivers of living water to flow out of us. So we need to grow in our relationship to the Lord so that then we can be a benefit to the community. And that is what we see in the life of Stephen. He maintained his devotion and his life upwards. He maintained his life and connection to the Lord so that in anything that he did, Jesus was reflected in his life. And that is the challenge that we have and the encouragement that the Lord is giving us in his word. We need to love the Lord with all our hearts. And as we love him, those around us will be benefited by that, because Christ will be seen in us and not us. Our imperfections will not be seen. People will see he's a Christian because he's doing things that a regular person would not do. He's showing me the love that nobody else has shown me because the Lord is present in his life. Even though this is a sad account when we just read it, because we see the death of a man of God, it is also a glorious display of God's power to us. God was working in the life of a man who fully placed his trust in him. The work of the hands of Stephen were bringing the glory of God to the community that he served. He was called to serve in the distribution of food in the church, and he did not do this as a task too lowly for him, but he did it unto the glory of the Lord. So Christ was manifested in his life. The word of God was alive in him, so that everything that he did, others knew that Christ was in him. I will finish saying this. What is your only comfort in life? And we can see this in the life of Stephen. His comfort in life was Christ, so that everything that he did it unto the glory of his name. So if you know where your comfort is, you need to take the word of the Lord. You need to listen to the call that he has. He gave a mission to all his disciples and said, "Go, make disciples. Teach them what I have taught you." And that is the challenge that we have whenever we see the life of Stephen. Because he heard his call and he lived the life of Christ until the last moment of his life. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, even in the midst of his suffering. And that is the call that God has for us today. It doesn't matter what you're suffering, look to Christ. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing in your life. Make sure that His light is shining out of your heart and reaching the life of the people that you touch every day of the week. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious is the death of a saint in your sight. How precious is the life of Stephen. Lord, we see this man giving his all in order to have communion with you. We see him in the moments of calamity having his sight fixed upon you. Thank you because he was able to give testimony of who you are. And out of that, one man named Paul came to know you. Allow that each of us will have the opportunity to reflect who you are to the world and to those around us. Give us hunger and thirst for your word, that in the midst of our suffering, we will experience that you are present and that you are guiding every step of our way. Thank you because you are in this place. Thank you for the life that you give us and for the opportunity that you put in front of us to testify and to witness who you are to those around us. Allow us to go today and ponder upon the goodness and all the great things that you have done for us so that we will be able to testify out of this how good you are to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.